The Antidote welcomes back Brandon of Salt of the Chief Cornerstone. It's been way too long.
Yeah, it's been a while. What, like 10 years?
It has been 10 years. Yeah, it was 2015 when we had our last talk outside of the Opera House.
That's crazy.
But now you and Ivan, who isn't there yet, are back into making music. So what's been happening over the past decade?
Wow, what's been happening? So we both got married. Well, I think we got married the last time we saw you. It was right around the time I think I was married and he was getting married or something like that. So anyways, 10 years. We've got families now. I have an amazing son, and Ivan's got 5 and a half. If you can believe that, he's got 5 kids, 1 on the way. So we've basically been doing the family thing for all these years, but we've also, like, me and Ivan are always just passing ideas around, right? We're always getting together once in a while. We're still jamming. We're not playing out, nothing like that. Not really writing in a serious manner, but we've always like had this passion just to get together once in a while and just rock out whenever we can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, it's been different. You know, we've had a bunch of fun kids jumping around the room now and that sort of thing. So that's basically been the last 10 years, is just being blessed with the families and keeping busy with work and everything, but still having that, you know, kind of fire in us, but being okay, taking some time off, you know. I think over all the years, though, me and Ivan have both been thinking, like, you know, it would be great to do like one more album, at least, maybe more, who knows. So we had it in the back of our heads, you know, like, let's keep this let's keep this Salt thing going. You know, it might take a while, but maybe we can get back to it one day, and that's where we are now, is we're back to it, and it's been amazing, you know.
I guess I should explain to our listeners that Salt of the Chief Cornerstone is a 2-piece. And whenever I hear that, I always think of guys like Death from Above, 1979 and 68.
Yeah.
But you guys are a rarity because it's an instrumental 2-piece.
Yeah.
Now, doing it instrumentally, does that make creating music easier or harder?
It's a little of both, to be honest with you. I'll tell you why. It's easier because you only have 2 guys in the band, and so it's less arguing, debating, whatever, when it comes to writing or what your game plan is. It can be harder, though, because you sort of have to fill the void, right? There's no bass, there's no vocals. So you're writing in a way where it sort of makes up for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Live, especially, you want it to sound full. You want it to sound like something that's sort of captivating if you can. And so just having me and Ivan on stage, we have to do something where it works. You know, ultimately, if we write something, it has to work. And that's our goal every time. So yeah, it's a little of both. It's very challenging sometimes to actually pull it off, where me and Ivan sit back and look at it and say, you know what? I think it worked. I think it's full. I think it sounds complete. And we're okay. You know, still being a 2-piece band, I think it's okay. You know, I think it's still working. So that's a good question, actually.
Well, when you and I met all that long time ago,
yeah,
we chatted about how your debut took 10 years to create. Now it's been another decade. So does that mean that slow and steady wins the race?
I guess, you know, like, it's really weird. The first album, which is kind of our second album, actually, we have another one before that didn't really go too far. But that first album there, it was something that we just kept adding to, right? So we kept adding to it and adding to it. And then it just kept getting longer and longer. And then before you know it, we're like, okay, this is becoming longer and bigger and more full and more produced, but which we wanted. And then by the end of it, yeah, it ended up getting pushed back and stretched out. And that's what it did. It took 10 years. We were on the road too, mind you, living in LA for a bit. So a lot of stuff kind of like sort of took up time.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing like more live stuff at the time. But yeah, you know, that whole writing period was fun. And it was a lot, though. But this one is different because we actually did take a lot of time off. And the whole writing bunched up with me and Ivan was really just a bit over a year. And before that, it was like maybe a few years of me just writing down these little ideas, saving them up, putting them in my bank. So really, this album came a lot. It was a lot quicker. It wasn't 10 years, you know, and it was more just us just taking time off for family and stuff like that. But look who's coming here. It's,
hey,
it's Ivan.
What's up?
He's on my man.
Dave.
Ivan, good to see you.
Long time, man.
You can. You've got a family. I already heard 5 and a half kids.
True enough. Yeah, sorry I'm late, man. Thanks for doing all this.
Hey, it's good to have you. So we've been speaking about the first album, and on that release, you had a bit of a theme. Now, what about with the new one, Blood, Salt, and Tears?
So we were playing around with the theme for a while there, and sort of near the tail end of the album, we were talking about like using colors as song titles. And we're talking about how we could take these colors and sort of relate it to scripture, you know? So in scripture, there's colors and each one has a different meaning. For example, red is kind of flesh, you know, and then yellow can be fire, but there's more in depth to that, of course, when it comes to scriptures and Christ and everything. So we sort of like decided, let's just stick with this and we're going to kind of make a pattern of it on our album. And it ended up working, and we sat back and looked at it and was like, oh, this is great. This actually works really well.
Well, that's where you messed me up, because I was just thinking that you were too lazy to actually think up names for the songs.
Well, it's got two meanings, this thing. So it started off using colors, because we're like, let's just call these, you know, some of these songs colors at first. But then it took on meaning, because we were actually going to change it all and have these, like, you know, different song titles. But then we started to think about it, and like, you know, we can actually add more of these song titles and make it make sense and have it really deep meaning to it. So it started off with a couple of names, and then it just sort of took over the whole album, and it made sense in the end, and we kept it and we just added to it, which is kind of funny because we didn't really have a full idea yet as to where it was going. But that's kind of where it all stemmed from, I guess.
So we could also refer to you as the Rainbow Band.
Well, these days, I don't know about that, but yeah, in a sort of scriptural way, sure.
Exactly.
I guess if I can jump in too. So we, like you said, we didn't have the whole idea, but, you know, just thinking about how things work out, sometimes they don't kind of reveal themselves till later. And it was one of my kids, actually, who had this, what's called a wordless book. And you'll often see it in like Sunday schools. And it's just on a little ringlet. And they're little cardboard cutouts of each color. And so they use specific colors. And as Brandon was saying, they all have a significance. So when we looked at it, I pulled it out of the bag one day and I'm just looking at it. And I just thought, wow, that's interesting, because we were already trying to name the songs by color. And then here are these like this color palette that all have like a meaning tied to the gospel. And so when you look at, say, black talks about sin, the depravity of man, the heart. When you have something like blue, it talks about the regeneration of through the Holy Spirit. When you have red, it talks about the blood that covers us. So yellow is, in terms, it can be interchanged with gold. So you could talk about purity or having those new bodies in glory with Christ. Again, all relating back to scripture. And I think it was one of those whopper-sized pieces that you weren't expecting to fall into place. And so we kind of piggybacked off of that. And then when we put it all together with the track listings, it was really hard to line it up with the wordless book, because it has a certain flow of kind of the order of how the story goes with the gospel. Mm-hmm. So I think we just kind of compromised and said, you know what, let's put the album together and those colors can still be relevant, even if they're somewhat out of order. I think it still creates a bit of a conversation around the colors.
Yeah, after it was all said and done, we sort of like looked at it and was like, I think this was meant to be, you know, like, because at first it was like we were just kind of playing around with it. And then it just seemed like there were signs, and I think God was telling us, yeah, just do this and it'll all make sense. And we think it does now. So it worked out.
Well, let's talk about one of those color songs, because my top pick, my favorite, is the lead song, Blue. Okay. Now, what about you guys? Do you have your own favorites?
Yeah, I do. I know I have mine. So mine is it was the latest addition to the album, and it's gray, but it's later on in the album. So it's on the latter half. And for some reason, I just love the way it is from beginning to end. It's got captures a lot of the kind of what moves me. So it's got the raw power. It's got the emotion. And I think I was able to pull off what I wanted to, as well as I'm sure Brandon did. So I think for me, it checks off all the boxes with gray.
Okay, Brandon, your turn.
Yeah, for me, I'd probably go with orange. I like orange. Well, I should probably say orange starts out with these bagpipes that
fade in. And I love, you know, bagpipes. I'm part Irish, so I have a little bit of that Celtic in me. But it just fades in and it builds into like us, you know, it starts sounding like us about a minute and a half into the song. And then it just kind of progresses and it goes and it goes. And so I really like that song right now, at least, because it reminds me of us, but it's sort of, it's like a matured us, but still us. It's still hard. It's still aggressive. It's still kind of prog and all over the place. So it's kind of like a fine wine to me, that song. It's grown on me a lot, and I feel like it sort of tells who we are now a little bit, that song. But I do like Blue too, like you've said. That's a really catchy, more of an upbeat one. And that's one of the reasons why we put it first, is we thought it would be perfect for an opener on the album. So,
fun fact about Orange is that idea originally, so the drum pattern actually came originally from an old Arabic song that I grew up listening to. You'd be at like these weddings or these parties, and so you'd have this song just cranking. And then it was like years later, like I'm at a park with my kids, and all of a sudden this song comes out of nowhere in my head. I'm like, okay, cool. So then I brought it to Brandon, and it kind of morphed into what you hear now. And that actually sounds nothing like the original.
Yeah.
Not like we ripped it off, but it was like the basis of it kind of came from this Arabic background, which was cool because then Brandon added in those bagpipes with our friend who came on. So you have this kind of like, we've always been able to pull off this like East meets West sort of feel, yeah, with like Celtic and Arabic influence within our music.
Well, it's not just that, because some of the songs do bring in various styles, like what you hear on the song Yellow. Was that a banjo on the opening section?
Yes, that's a banjo. Yeah, we got two elements. So there's banjo on Yellow, and then there's banjo on the last song.
Silver?
Silver, yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of a thing we did a long time ago on one of our earlier albums, as we had a banjo song with tablas. And we sort of mixed the two worlds together. So this one, we wanted to do one where it sort of led into like all the heaviness. And so, yeah, Yellow is the banjo, and I'm kind of playing it like differently. You know, I'm not like picking it with my fingers. I'm just playing all that with my pick. So,
you guys always do everything differently. And here, I'm going to rave about your band for a minute, because each of you are incredible musicians. Ivan, you're outstanding on the kit. You know, you always seem to be like freestyling, doing every possible thing. And you, Brandon, have this outstanding style with your rapid fire notes on the guitar. So you got none of the typical strumming you'd hear from a guitarist. So overall, does that really make your sound unique?
Thanks, Dave. I guess. I mean, I don't know what makes it unique, if it's unique. I think it's our chemistry, you know, like just being like different people. You know, we have a similar style, but we don't, you know, Ivan's into a lot of different stuff compared to like what I listen to. So for some reason, when we meet together and we sit down and we go over this whole engineering of, okay, let's come up with something like this, and this can be this song, it always ends up different, but it works. And it's never how we sort of like imagine, you know what I mean? It just kind of surprises us every time. So I think that's what sort of where the magic happens. You know, I think it's just something that just comes naturally, me and him sort of working together, writing, you know?
Both of you have already mentioned about how the theme is drawn from colors and what they actually represent. But are your listeners going to pick up on that?
I think that was the challenging part with the artwork for the album, is we wanted to originally go with something that was a bit more basic. So we had some rough designs. And then I think last minute we kind of opted for something different. So you worked on some artwork with some other friends.
Yeah.
And they managed to come up with like a stained glass.
So yeah, we sort of came up with that at the tail end as well. And that sort of made sense to us, because you're seeing this whole stained glass thing, which, you know, people associate with, you know, church. So it has that like sort of factor to it. And then the brokenness of it. And then, you know, show some blood dripping. And so all that sort of like represents like all the themes, in our opinion, you know, and our sin and a holy God and everything that we you know, strive. So it kind of all came together too as well, which we didn't really know where it was going. And our friends sort of helped us put that into like, you know, how it became, I guess. So it's pretty amazing. We didn't really game plan everything. It's sort of just, everything just came together at the right time. And thankfully it did, because, you know, we can only see like 5 feet ahead from us when it comes to our writing. We don't really know where anything's going, and we're okay with that, you know?
I think that's, we call that God's providence. Pretty much, because
it totally is.
Because it's, you know, when the blinders are lifted and you kind of see all the roads that, you know, had to be taken to get to that one specific point, you know, for us, it's obvious. And we see that as a pattern of what God does in our lives. And whether it's through, you know, just everyday mercy we see, and then just blessings over certain things. You know, I think Brandon and I both are aware of how undeserving we are of grace. And anybody who knows that as a Christian is they can agree with that wholeheartedly and say that, you know, it's not anything that we could have possibly done, whether, you know, in our day-to-day projects or in the greater picture of salvation. And so I think that is where we have to always give it over back to God through Christ, is that it's always grace, it's always mercy. And, you know, and I think that's what helps us to understand how to live from one sense horizontally from one person to another, but then also vertically in our relationship back to Christ.
Well, you know, it's great that you guys have a new album, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, but you do have one problem, because Salt of the Chief Cornerstone is almost invisible online. So, I mean, besides you guys coming to the Antidote to share about it, how do you get the word out?
Well, really, at this point, we're just going with the flow. We're kind of just speaking with people who are willing to help and willing to like talk with us and do blogs with us, interviews such as this. And so it's one day at a time, and we're just letting it go naturally, I guess. We're not trying to, like, you know, just knock on doors and put ourselves on TV. Like, you know, just whatever happens, happens, and it'll, you know, it'll work out.
Yeah, I mean, to piggyback off what he was saying, truth be told, I think originally, and you probably agree with me, and I think we originally started this album even just as a keepsake for just us, you know, because when we first started that first album, Dave, when we met you, I think, where were we at? In Hamilton? Where did we meet you?
I think it was Toronto.
Toronto, the Opera House.
That's right, yeah. And I mean, back then there was a lot of fire, you know, we came out with a lot of steam, a lot of support, and we were trying to push for that. And then I think I came in on the conversation where, you know, fast forward 10 years later, it's like, we feel like Bill and Ted, you know, coming, it's just like out of this time machine. Here we are with these families, and, like, you know, life itself kind of takes it in your own direction. So when we started probably like a year ago, maybe more, I think when we really took it serious was like the writing was over a year ago, but the ball got rolling probably within the last couple of years. And I think we both said to each other, like, you know, worst case scenario, if this is just for us, if it's just to have as a legacy to pass on to our kids, I mean, so be it. So with the idea of like pushing it, I think we're just taking a different approach than maybe when we first started back 10 years ago. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, no, it's true, because basically, like, this album, it was our own kind of thing that we really wanted to do for ourselves. So we weren't trying to like bend it a certain way or you know, add certain things to it a certain way. We just wanted to make it how we wanted it to sound 100%. And so we really just kind of went more raw with it, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was our goal, is to just kind of, let's do it for ourselves first and foremost. And we have in the past too, but mind you, like, there is other influences along the way, you know, when you're working with like producers and labels and such, but this one, it was like, it's a lot more raw. I think in the end, it's something that sounds like me and Ivan just rocking out without too much of anything else going on. And that's kind of, you know, how we wanted it, you know, a bit of a rawness to it.
I think it was a more relaxed approach.
More relaxed too, you know.
The two of you must have known right from the start that the style of Salt of the Chief Cornerstone was only going to appeal to a niche market. But it sounds like you're okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, you can't do nothing about it. But if it ends up reaching 100 or 500 or 200,000, I mean, it's okay in the end, because we're still doing everything we've loved, and you know, all the writing is exactly how we love doing it. I don't think it would change us whether it goes one way or another way. If it ends up reaching like a few thousand people, this album, that's okay. You know, I mean, we're okay with that. I mean, we're hoping it'll reach more. It'd be nice to play bigger shows and get out there. Who knows where it can take us, but ultimately, like, it's out of our hands, so we're not losing any sleep if it
if it reaches a smaller market or a smaller crowd, that's okay.
Well, you just spoke about shows, and you did play a number of shows with your first album. So with Blood, Salt, and Tears, you've got plans for playing a few more dates with this?
We don't want to get, you know, say too much right now, but we have some plans. Yeah, we're kind of just playing with some ideas right now, and we're open to it.
Yeah, I think more specifics, we're hoping to release the album with a bang. So, you know, try and play a few shows around that. Maybe a few smaller ones to build it to a bigger show. And then again, at the end of the day, if we're okay with that and it goes, you know, no further, that's fine. And then I think we were talking about trying to get in on some festivals too. That was early on, maybe a year ago. It's different kind of festivals that are related to like the CCM market, like Christian Contemporary. But the good thing about our music is because it is such a niche, I guess we can play in a secular type of environment and also kind of a Christian sort of atmosphere. And I think it's because of the style and because it's instrumental, I guess it can go with both.
Yeah, we've played with like Apocalyptica. So like, you know, it worked out fine. You know, these are bands that didn't know much about us and they ended up liking us, you know, whatever. And
yeah.
And so like it's fine, right? And then we've also played some other events that were totally different. And that was fine too. So we're kind of diverse as much as we're like a niche kind of band where we can play like with a variety, I guess. And as long as we don't scare people away from playing, you know, too loud or fast, whatever, then it's usually okay.
Neither one of you are too scary.
Yeah.
You know, except for maybe you, Brandon.
He's the got the looks in the band.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I'm the muscle. So there's got to be one and then the other. I was just thinking, remember that venue we played, the Mexican?
Yeah.
It was a Mexican joint. And then I think you.
It was a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people were just having dinner. It was like whatever the lunch, dinner yeah. rush. And here they are. They had a stage and they invited us to come out, took good care of us during that time. And then we end up rocking out and people.
We're selling CDs though. Like yeah. we were buying them and it was like, you know what I mean? It was like, it was funny. That was actually a fun show.
So I guess, I mean, I bring all that up. It's funny. It's like the most random memory, but I think everywhere, you know, any band's going to have is the people who love you and the people who kind of hate on you. I think we've had a mixture of both, but I think people have come to appreciate what we do when they kind of meet us and they get to see us play live. I don't know if they just can't help but just respect and say, you know what, it's maybe not my thing. It's a niche for sure, but they can't help but respect it. And we've always enjoyed that element of what we do as musicians.
Yeah.
Something different.
And it usually works. We played with death metal bands. We played with rock bands. We played with Christian metal bands. We played with like a rap artist, you know? So, I mean, like it's usually worked and at the end of the day, it's a ball and, you know, I think it's fine.
Was like a Maestro Fresh?
Yeah.
We played a concert with Maestro. I think he was, yeah. So I mean, totally random.
Yeah. Well, something I'd like to hear about, and I'm sure my listeners do too, is to hear about how your songs are created. What's your process?
It usually starts out with me just banking these little ideas, little 30-second ideas. And it's very tedious. Like I spend a lot of time going over these ideas, adding them on. And then after a while, I have to like get rid of all that, like all these other ideas. So only the bigger ones stand out, right? And then sometimes I'll be going through like thousands of them after a while. And so it takes time. I can't write a song in a month. Some people can. I wish I could, I can't. For me, I have to just get down all of these little ideas. And so after some time, maybe a couple of years, then we can start talking and I can start structuring all these little ideas and have it start making sense. And then that's where Ivan comes in and we start working on them. We start chopping some more pieces off, start adding more pieces. It's kind of like a sculpture, you know, you got to like knock up a little bit of clay, add a little more. And then after like maybe like 6 months, we'll have a couple of songs, you know, maybe three songs. But it's very tedious. It takes time. And you got to sort of like sit there with like a microscope and figure out exactly how you want every little thing fit together, you know? And so that's kind of like how we do it. It's kind of insanity. People have looked at me in the past and be like, spend way too much time doing this, you know? But it's an art and that's who I am. And I'm an artist and I love doing stuff like that. You know, I love putting everything into it.
and hoping for results, right?
And you want to do it right.
Do it right. And, but, you know, at the same time, we don't rush anything. We don't write typically like how most bands probably write, where they sort of just kind of throw it together and have fun. And that's great too, you know? You know, for me, I like to just really prepare tons of ideas. And then me and Ivan can sit there after and sort through them and figure out what might work. If this works, let's improve on this idea and so on, right? So that's kind of how we do it, I guess.
Since you two are Salt of the Chief Cornerstone, does that make you the salt that's going to be needed to improve the music scene? Because you got to admit, it's kind of boring right now.
It's lacking. I agree. It is lacking. It'd be nice to have an influence, I guess. And if we can take part in adding something different to it, I guess. I don't know. That's a kind of a tough question, but
I think you just answered in and of itself. I mean, we would love to be able to have some sort of like hold on the industry. That's kind of a loaded question in itself, because the industry almost takes on its own sort of system of operation, and you either have to agree to it or you don't agree to the terms. And, you know, if you do, then great, the world opens up. If you don't, and you kind of hold to certain convictions, then you kind of get sort of a backdoor sort of experience. We've kind of had a little bit of both, you know, and so that all goes part and parcel with how far are you willing to entertain certain ideas in the industry. If you're approached and somebody wants you to go a little bit further, and maybe it takes you out of your comfort zone, maybe for the wrong reasons. And so I think both of us have tried to hold up some form of integrity, and that may have hurt us more than helped us in the last 20 years. But that's okay, man. You know, I think the small group, and I would say, you know, relatively small, maybe a wide base of say 2,000 people at most, given over the last maybe 10 years, we're okay with giving all that music out to them. And if it goes beyond that, then amazing. We would love to jump into something where it becomes an influence. But sometimes it's out of your hands, and we're okay with that too.
Well, I've got to say that I really do love Blood, Salt, and Tears. But I want the two of you to promise me something. Can you guarantee it won't be another decade before we hear more from Salt of the Chief Cornerstone?
You know, God willing, we can have something else in a few years maybe. But yeah, I think asking us at this point, we're like, no, we're just taking a break. We don't want to think about any more writing right now, because we put so much into this album. But yeah, I mean, never say never, and never know. I mean, could have something out in 2 years, something new out in 2 years, you know, after this one. So you never know. We're still feeling good. We're still best friends who just love to like perform and write. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's certainly possible. I mean, I'm not calling it quits at this point. That's for sure. You know, I'm feeling good. I was feeling good. We're both healthy. We're both feeling like we're full of ideas still. So why not? You know,
what's that saying? If it's not fun anymore and becomes a job, then it's time to quit. I think that relates, you know, especially to music. And I think for now, that's what kind of you were saying, is just we've been having a lot of fun with it. When it becomes too much of a job, then maybe it's time to consider whether we want to continue or hang it up.
Well, I sure hope you guys carry on. Ivan and Brandon, I want to thank you for this talk about the new album.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it, man.